You can turn to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs 21. This is going to be the last, for now anyways, the last of our looking topically through the book of Proverbs. Move on to something a bit more doctrinally focused, I think, again, after this for a brief time. But this will be our last one. We're going to be looking at the relationship of children to the parents, obedience to parents. But we will read Proverbs chapter 21, just as we've been consecutively reading through the book here. So we'll read Proverbs chapter 21 before we look at our topic. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. A haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. Getting treasures by a lying tongue is the fleeting fantasy of those who seek death. The violence of the wicked will destroy them because they refuse to do justice. The way of a guilty man is perverse, but as for the pure, his work is right. Better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. The soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no favor in his eyes. When the scoffer is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receives knowledge. The righteous God wisely considers the house of the wicked, and overthrowing the wicked for their wickedness. Whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. A gift in secret pacifies anger, a bribe behind back strong wrath. It is a joy for the just to do justice, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. A man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. He who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. The wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous, and the unfaithful for the upright. Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. There is a desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. He who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness, and honor. A wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the trusted stronghold. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. A proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name, he acts with arrogant pride. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he brings it with wicked intent? A false witness shall perish, but the man who hears him will speak endlessly. The wicked man hardens his face, but as for the upright, he establishes his way. There is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. The Lord, we do ask now that you would be pleased to bless us again with your Holy Spirit so that we might understand the message today, Lord, that it might be a means by which we grow and increase in our sanctification. Lord, we pray for the children. We pray for our young people now that as we address them, that you would work in their hearts. You would open their hearts, Lord, to receive these things, to know, to take this to heart, to trust in your word and the teachings contained therein, and to know truly, Lord, that you are a good God, and you desire all things for their good, and through their parents, that you administer that through their parents, that they would trust in that reality, Lord. We pray for that. We pray for your blessing upon this service, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the last few sermons in Proverbs, we've been looking at this relationship between parents and children, specifically with the role and duties of parents. The family is instituted by God at creation. We saw that they had a goal that had an eternal goal of building a kingdom of image bearers for Yahweh. Adam and Eve failed to do that, that now it's Christ and his bride, the church, who achieve that goal, but yet parents are still playing an important role in working towards that goal. That's God's design when he created the earth, was for parents to be the ones to raise children and image bearers. And even though the Adam and Eve failed and Christ is fulfilling that, yet that design is still there. Parents are still the primary means that God uses to save souls and to add them to his kingdom. And parents then ought to as well also be play a big part in that sanctification process, whereby the children learn what it means to be more like Christ, to walk in obedience to him and be conformed to his image. So the parents, God has given parents the tools. We looked at that. We looked at the law used pedagogically to teach them about Christ, the gospel that teaches, that shows us the solution to our sin problem. We have the law used normatively that teaches us teaches our children how to be like Christ. We have the law used civilly, which just is for the stability of our household, whether our children are saved or not. When we say we use the law in a civil manner to just create peace in our households, we have the tools of correction as well as what we looked at last time. We have correction in the form of rebuke, so verbal rebuke, when our children step outside of those boundaries that we have that we've set for them, boundaries that should be based upon God's law with that goal in mind of their conformity to Christ. When they step outside of those boundaries, we have correction in the form of rebuke to bring them back in. We also have then correction in the form of the rod of discipline, the wooden spoon, the spanking stick that is used to correct when they willfully and they intentionally defy our authority and those boundaries that we have for them. So, but again, we have all these tools we have are to be employed with that end goal in mind of as Christian parents of having children that are saved, renewed image bearers, conformed and conforming more and more to the image of God. So, kids, to put that all into simple terms for you so that you can understand this, is that your parents' desire is, it should be, and if I know all your parents and I know that it is, their desire that you are saved, that you become one of God's children, and that you then act more, having become one of God's children by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you act more and more like God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe some of you have older siblings, an older brother maybe at home, or an older sibling, and a lot of times you want to be like your older brother. You want to follow his example. That's natural. You want to be like that older brother, do what he does, or older sister maybe. But that idea. But that's what God wants from us. When we believe in the Lord Jesus, then we become a child of God. We become adopted by God. The Bible talks about that. And then we need to follow the example of our older brother, the Lord Jesus. The Bible says he's not ashamed to call us his brothers. So therefore he is our brother. We see that actually in Romans chapter 8. You can turn there. Romans 28:29. Whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. When we believe in the Lord Jesus, we trust in him as our Savior, and then we are adopted by God, and then we are to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That means we want to be like our older brother, the Lord Jesus, if we are one of God's children. So your parents then, our kids are there to teach you the gospel, which is to teach you that you've sinned, you've broken God's law, you need a Savior. By God's grace, you need to believe that gospel. And then your parents are there to teach you and show you, help you to be more like the Lord Jesus, to show you what is right and wrong, and to lead you in that way. That's what God wants from all people, not just little kids, from your parents as well, that we are all more and more like the Lord Jesus. And your parents are there to help you then to be like that. So kids, I hope you understand that reality, that they understand that fact, that God wants, that's what God wants for us. He wants us to be saved, and then He wants us to be more like the Lord Jesus. And your parents are there to help you with that. So today, this sermon is for you, children. It is, we are talking about obedience to parents, your relationship to your parents. And the Bible tells us, obey your parents. That's very simple. You are to obey your parents. In Colossians 3, verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is pleasing to the Lord. Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's the fifth commandment as well. Honor your father and your mother. God, and we have to realize here, God didn't give you parents just tell you to obey them for no reason. You know, just so that there's a bunch of rules that you have to follow. No, God tells you to obey your parents because your parents are the ones that God is using to teach you to be, teach you about the Lord Jesus, and to teach you to believe in Him, and to teach you, or to call you to believe in Him, and then to teach you how to be like Him. So if you understand that, then you understand that obeying your parents is more than just obeying your parents. It's actually obeying God, God is using those your parents to fulfill His purposes for you. So so our parents are there. They're teaching you, helping you how to be like the Lord Jesus. But I'm not going to say this every time, but I want to remind us is that we're not being obedient to our parents and obedient to their rules and even obedient to God in order to be saved. We're not trying to be good people, good boys and girls, so that we can go to heaven. It doesn't work that way. We can only be saved if you believe in the Lord Jesus. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus, because Jesus is the only one who is perfect. And God, we're not perfect, but Jesus is. So we need to believe in Him and then believe and trust that He paid for all of our sins, because we all do have so many sins. So we can only be saved if we trust in the Lord Jesus. But when we believe in the Lord Jesus, then after that, then we are to obey God and obey our parents as they help us to teach us how to obey God. So, when our parents teach us what that looks like, they say, don't hate your brother, or don't hate your siblings, or don't be sneaky, don't be dishonest, don't steal things. When they say that, it's because that Jesus didn't do those things, because those things are wrong. And so they're teaching you that, and they're helping you to learn that that's wrong, and to not do those things. And sometimes we still want to do those things, don't we? We want to hate our siblings, and we want to steal something. We're tempted to steal something, a cookie or whatever it may be that we shouldn't be. We're tempted to lie, and often we do those things, right? Because we still have that sin in our hearts. We still have those sinful desires there. So if we do those things, our parents are there then to teach us, to remind us that those things are wrong. Sometimes they're just going to rebuke you. That means they're just going to tell you that's wrong and you shouldn't do that. Sometimes they need to spank you to help you remember, because they've told you already. You knew that that was wrong. So, but if you understand they're doing those things because they love you, because they want you to be more like Christ, then you need to Then that'll help you to, if you remember that, that'll help you to submit to that and help you to obey that and that teaching and that discipline rather than resist it, rather than get angry when it happens. There. And Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, he says, obey your parents in all things. So you don't get to choose when you should obey or not. That's not up to you. You must obey in all things. You're not the judge of if you get to obey or not. You obey your parents in everything, unless your parents ask you to do something that's clearly wrong. Clearly, that's very obviously and clearly wrong against God. That's different. But again, I know your parents, and I don't think that that's going to happen. But if they ask you to do something that's clearly wrong, then you can. But other than that, you obey in everything. Obey them in all things. So when they ask you to vacuum the floor, they ask you to do the dishes or do your chores, you need to obey that. When they ask you to do those things, they're teaching you. They're helping you to teach you how to work and teaching you how to serve others and teaching you about being clean and organized and all of those which are all godly things that they're trying to teach you. When they tell you to share your toys with your siblings, you need to obey that. They're teaching you how to serve others and how to put others first. All of those things. And now, what's important to understand is when you're a younger child, your parents are going to give you a lot of we might call them rules, but instructions on what you can and can't do, or what you have to do, because they're making those choices, they're making the choices for you, what you need to do, and how you need to live, and choices that you need to live in order to be more like Christ. They're making those choices for you through the rules that they make, and that's why you need to obey them. That's how they're teaching you how to be godly, and they're showing you, they're giving you, making that godly choice for you. So you must obey them. And as you obey them, then you learn what it means to be and how to make godly choices and to be in order to be more like Christ. So that's the first way in that we need to obey parents. When we obey them, we do as they say, even if we don't like it, even if we don't agree with it, even if we don't understand it, we have to trust that you have to trust that your parents have your best interest in mind. These rules, these things that they have are there to teach you to be more like the Lord Jesus. So you obey them in all things. But as you get older, you and your parents continue to teach you these things, and they continue to teach you about Christ. They continue to teach you godly principles. But then as you get older, you begin to be allowed to make more of these choices, more of your own choices. And now they start to give you the principles to follow. They give you the godly wisdom. And slowly you get more and more responsibility to take the counsel and the wisdom and the principles that they're teaching you and make those choices now for yourself. So they're giving you that counsel. Think of the book of Proverbs. That's what the whole book is. It's a father writing to his son, and he says many different ways. He says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father. My son, listen to my counsel. He says, "A wise son heeds the counsel of his father." So the father is giving him wisdom. He's giving him instruction. He's teaching him godly principles. And that's the second way that you are to obey your parents. First way was just listening to their rules and obeying the rules that they have when they make those choices for you. The second way is to listen to the counsel and the wisdom that they give you. Take it to heart. Follow it. When they're not making the choice for you anymore, but they're giving you the principles that you need to follow, you should listen to that. You should take it to heart and consider it and make choices that are according to those biblical principles that they're giving you. As you get older, some of you have jobs already. Some of you, you're making money. You're getting near to having your licenses. There's a lot more responsibility that comes, and a lot more opportunities that come. Opportunities to make your own decision where your parents won't be there making the decision for you, but they are. There's many opportunities, so you need to be listening then to the counsel and to the wisdom that your parents are giving you. Your parents, you have a job, you start making money. Your parents should be teaching you about biblical principles of money management. We read Proverbs 21 today. There was a couple in there. Verse 17, he who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. So squandering your money. Where was the other verse? Verse 20. There's desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise. He's saving his his thing there. The foolish man is squandering it. So again, when your parents teach you those principles, and they're teaching you godly wisdom, of you need to be listening to that. You need to be taking that to heart as you make those decisions in your life. So don't be foolish. Don't be the foolish son in Proverbs, the foolish daughter who thinks they know it better, who rejects the instruction and the counsel of his father. But listen, take heed, because your parents have that wisdom that they want to share, and they want to teach you in order to be more Christ-like and wise with those things. So we listen to that counsel, they're going to give you the counsel, but you also need to go and seek that counsel as well. You might be presented with an opportunity or a decision, a situation, and you think, I don't know what I should do in this situation. What would be the wise thing to do? Well, you go to your parents and ask them for counsel and say, Mom, Dad, this is the situation. What should I do? I have this friend that we've been hanging out. I really like him, but he's been pressuring me to do ungodly things that are, that I'm uncomfortable with. How do I navigate this situation? What's wisdom there? Go to them and seek for guidance and counsel. But again, that's just a couple examples of things here. But every minute of every day, we're constantly making decisions, and we need to be making those decisions that are godly. So as you get older, your parents are no longer making those decisions for you, but they're giving you, counsel that will aid you in those choices, that will give you direction. So be wise. Listen to the counsel. Proverbs 15, verse 5 says, a fool despises his father's instruction. So don't be foolish. Listen to those things. But you also need to remember, if you don't make wise choices, if your parents have allowed you to have the responsibility to make those choices, they've given you the counsel, but you reject that counsel and you don't make wise choices, your parents may take that responsibility away from you, and now they may impose the rules again there and make those choices for you, and you need to submit to that, because remember, your parents are there, they want you to be Christ-like, and they're helping you. If you don't show the responsibility of making godly choices, they may take that responsibility, and then it holds true that you still need to obey them, just as Paul says, just as the fifth commandment says, obey them when they do that. Maybe they used to allow you to choose whatever music you wanted to listen to, or movies that you wanted to watch. They trusted that they had given you the counsel of what constitutes godly music or movies, games, whatever. Maybe you weren't making godly decisions. You weren't watching the right things or godly things, and maybe they have to remove that responsibility from you and start giving you specific rules or a specific list of songs or movies or whatever. Because you weren't ready, you weren't responsible enough to make godly choices. So then you need to obey those things. And young people, it's hard, isn't it? As you get older, as you want to have more responsibility, you want to make more decisions and have that control, but you have to show them that you are responsible. You are ready to make godly choices. And because our responsibility as parents is to assure that to the best of our ability, that you are making those choices. So sometimes that means making them for you by making rules that you must obey. Sometimes it means giving you the wisdom, the counsel, and letting you make the decision for yourself. And again, sometimes another time where you need to trust your parents. So you might feel like your parents don't know what they're doing, but you need to trust them. You need to listen to that advice and counsel. And I'll admit, sometimes we don't know what we're doing. Sometimes we get it wrong. We don't give wise counsel. But yet, that doesn't matter. You are told that you need to listen. You need to obey your parents. You need to trust that they are seeking your godliness there. And, you know, but your parents are older than you. They have gone through life. They have, hopefully, by God's grace, grown and learned and increased and have a greater pool of wisdom that they can pull from in order to give you that counsel. But trust in that they have learned wisdom. Maybe we've learned through our own parents teaching us, our own life experiences. Either way, we've grown in wisdom, and we've learned it from the mistakes that we've made in life as well. And we say, you know, learn from me, from the mistakes I've made. But ultimately, it's God's wisdom that we are sharing, that we want you to learn, we want you to take to heart, so that you too can be more conformed to His image. And again, if you always have that in your mind, that your parents are there with that goal in mind, it will make it, and it ought to make it much easier for you then to obey and to listen to their counsel and their guidance. So, obey your parents, listen to their counsel and their guidance. The goal is that you are for you to be more like Christ. But there's one more aspect of obedience that I want to touch on here. We mentioned this last time briefly as well, and like we saw this morning, Hosea said about the Israelites, they had rejected the good. They had rejected the good God, and they didn't realize that His laws are good because they come from a good God. God is a good God. His laws are a reflection of that goodness, and that means His laws are there for our good, and not just in terms of eternal life, that our laws have to do with our, you know, that they only have eternal value concerning our souls, but it's also, Paul says, tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, turn there, they have, they're for our good in this life as well. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is, or for this current life now, and for that which is to come. So godliness, which is living according to God's law, being like Christ, you know, using godly wisdom, all of that has benefits for life in this life as well, Paul says. It doesn't just concern spiritual life. And that's why the commandments in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5 says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long and that it may go well for you. So this doesn't mean that if you obey your parents, you're guaranteed to live a long life, you know, until you're very old, as some sort of reward. No, it's just practical. When you obey your parents, because your parents are teaching you godly wisdom and teaching you God's laws, which are there for your good, when you obey those laws, things go better for you in this life. Things go better for you when you go to work, and rather than sit on at home on the couch, you know, playing video games or whatever every day. Things go better for you when you deal with conflict in a godly manner, rather than always being angry at people and always ruining relationships. Things go better for you. They go better for you in the long run when you're honest. They go, you know, honest in business, honest everywhere. Things always go better for you. They go better for you when you serve others rather than when you serve yourself. There's a whole bunch of verses today as we were reading through chapter 21 that I thought, wow, how much they speak to this. Verse 5, the plans of the diligent surely lead to plenty, those of everyone who's hasty, surely to poverty. So hasty, being rash, making rash decisions, it's foolish, it leads to poverty, he says here. What are some other ones? Destruction will come to the workers of iniquity, verse 15. Getting treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting fantasy of those who seek death, verse 6. You know, trying to get rich through lying. It's a fleeting fantasy, he says, but it's gone. It's not going to last. Violence of the wicked will destroy them because they refuse to do justice. People who just don't want to be fair in life. Violence, it will destroy them. There's so many verses like this. God's laws are there for your good. And that's just the reality of it. When God created this world, He determined right and wrong. He determined how life in this, in His creation, would work. And because He's a good God, when we do things His way, things will go better for us. Again, it doesn't mean things will be perfect, because there's sin in this life, so it's never going to be perfect. It doesn't mean you're not going to have difficulties in this life and trials and hardships. That's not what I'm saying at all here. God's world, His perfect world that He made, it was all very good, has been tainted by sin. So we're not going to experience perfection until we get to heaven. But as a general rule, when we employ godly wisdom in our lives, things go better. We see it in society as a whole. Our Western civilization was founded on these biblical, godly principles. Our society thrived. I thought about it this past year. We were at the car show in Enderby. Millions of dollars worth of vehicles parked there. Just unbelievable how much our society has thrived because we were founded on biblical principle. We were just talking downstairs at lunchtime about hockey cards being worth, you know, thousands of dollars, that someone would pay for a piece of paper that has a picture of a hockey player on there. Because we have that kind of money, it's expendable because our society has thrived because we were founded on biblical principles. But we see it now. The more that we cast off those biblical principles, the more that we say, no, that doesn't matter. Those things we can do things ourselves. The more we cast off God's laws, His standards of right and wrong, of good and evil, in sexuality, in justice, in terms of carrying out justice, just morality in general. The more that we cast off God's ways, the more society becomes chaotic and disordered. So it goes for the same thing on a personal level. The less that you live according to biblical wisdom, the less that you live according to the laws that God has given in there, the more chaotic and disorderly and unenjoyable your life will be. Just trying to find the verse here that spoke to that as far as relationships. That's one thing. I don't know. It's not coming to me now. I'm sorry. But there, you know, one of these verses here about sorry, it's not popping out at me right now. But of just how chaotic or how disorderly life is when it comes to relationships. If you don't know how to have a biblical relationship and deal with things on a conflict, we always have conflict because we're sinners. So how do we deal with that? If you can't deal with that in a godly way, it's just going to be contention all the time for you. It's not going to be, there's going to be so much drama and so much, in your life there. So my whole point here is that when you live according to biblical matters, biblical laws, biblical wisdom, godliness, regardless of the eternal aspect and the soul aspect of it, there's benefits for in this life. So children, then, when the Bible tells you, obey your parents, listen to their counsel, this has benefit for you in your life now. They're teaching you these things so that it benefits you here and now as well. They say, be honest. If they say, be forgiving. If they say, don't look at pornography. Whatever it is, those things have direct positive benefits in your life here if you obey and listen to that counsel. So trust in that. Even if you don't understand it, even if you don't really get how it's going to play out. I had a conversation with a young man a few weeks ago, and he says, my friends don't really, it's hard for me because I have some friends and they want to do things, and I say, no, I can't do that, and it's really hard to accept that I'm not allowed to do those things. And I said, I showed him this, I said, but God's ways are always there for our good. God's ways say, don't go, you have one wife, you save that relationship for the marriage. You don't destroy that before marriage. It's for your good. It really, truly is. And I mean, that's just one example, but all of these things, God's laws are there for our good. We need to trust in that. Trust, even if you don't understand, trust that you're in your parents' guidance and counsel as they teach you these things, because that guidance, that counsel, they are based on the laws of a good God and a truly good God, and therefore they will be there for, they are there for your good. So, in conclusion, then, to sum this all up, children, obey your parents. Obey them when they make rules for you to follow, when they make those decisions for you, and when they show you and show you exactly what it means to be like Christ. You obey them so that you can learn, you can understand how to make those choices. As you get older, listen to their counsel, listen to their wisdom when they allow you to make your own decisions. Because, again, that counsel is there so that you, to help you make those right decisions so that you honor God, so that you reflect Christ's glory in your life. And then thirdly, that wisdom, that God in us has a direct benefit in this life as well, that it may go well for you, to use the language of the fifth commandment. And again, I want to close just with a reminder of the gospel, though, that your obedience to your parents and to God's laws, no matter how well you obey them, you can obey your parents perfectly. You know, that does not earn your salvation, because God requires absolute perfection. When I say you obey your parents perfectly, we never can. You will always disobey somehow. God requires absolute perfection, and none of us can do that. None of us are perfect. Even if we tried to start right now and tried to be perfect, we wouldn't be able to do it. And the problem is, we're not perfect. We were never perfect before that. The Bible says, the psalmist says, we come out of the womb speaking lies. That means the minute we're born and we enter into this world, we're sinful. We fall right away. We fall short of that perfection that God requires. And that's why the Lord Jesus is our only hope, because he's the only one who never sinned. He was born and he was perfect, and he never ever sinned once against God's law. But he also paid for our sins on the cross as well. We come out of the womb speaking lies, and we sin and we sin and we sin our whole lives. But if we trust in the Lord Jesus as our Savior, then we can trust that all of our sin has been paid for on the cross. It's all forgiven. It's all forgiven so that we don't deserve punishment anymore, because it was paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. So never forget that. Never forget that salvation, your salvation, is only possible through the Lord Jesus Christ, not through your obedience. It's through Him. And in order to be saved, we have to acknowledge our sin, to realize we are sinful. We haven't been perfect. We haven't kept God's laws perfectly. We have to acknowledge that, repent of that, and trust in Him as our Savior. When we trust in the Lord Jesus, then we are right with God. Then we are adopted, as I said at the beginning, adopted as God's children, God's child. And then we go on to be like our older brother Christ, and go on to be live according to His ways and be like Him. We do that just as a way to show our thankfulness. We do that because He's our King and our leader, and we want to follow His laws And we do that because because that's how His character, His glorious character is on display in our lives. And that should be our goal in our life, because that's why we were created. We were created to image God. We were created to be like Him, to reflect His glorious character. That was why we were created. So when we live for that, we are living for the purpose for which we were created. But it begins with believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we go from there.